I made the mistake
You
of
know.
going into a comment section on Facebook, of all places.
You have reached the end of the internet. This is Gals of Geekdom.
Okay, I guess we're
recording now.
Welcome to the first episode of the Gals of Geekdom podcast. My name is Eva. I'm here with Aaron and Crystal, and we are going to have an amazing time. So say hi, ladies.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this very first inaugural episode. My name is Crystal, as Eva pointed out, and I love gaming and movies, and I'm here to talk all geek stuff and maybe some other stuff, too.
Hey, guys, I'm Aaron. That's all I'm going to say right now.
All right, perfect.
That works.
Cool.
This is fun, the first time. It's going to be an exciting adventure. I hope everyone out there listening enjoys it and shares it. Sharing our podcast will ensure that we continue doing this and making more and having a blast every time we do, and then maybe having some special guests along the way, but who knows?
Yeah, no, that sounds great. So what are we talking about just before we started recording? We were talking about the video game.
We were talking about how The Last of Us 2 was released, and I did play the entire game, but we were talking specifically how The Last of Us 2 made the internet chuds go insane.
My word. The gist that is happy with me. That is good.
The internet chuds.
Oh yeah, the fake man babies. The nerd boys. The wannabe.
Not
nerds.
My Wolverine.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, those idiots. You know, a game is only allowed to have a straight white male protagonist. You can't make your character a female and a lesbian, so, and then have another side character, which is the trans character. You know, that's completely out of, mm-hmm. it's horrible.
Oh, and even worse, you know, if your character is a person of color, God help you,
yeah.
Because it will always be approached as tokenism, no matter how awesome the product is.
Look, all I know is people were hating on Laura yesterday, and on Twitter, well, the comic book Twitter was hating on Laura, and I was actually out of the comic book store and saw the issue where she takes the mantle of Wolverine, and because I saw people hating on her, I ended up buying this.
So are you saying that these comics gate assholes actually drove sales?
Yes, they do.
Of the book by people who don't like them. That's really cool, actually.
What's cool is that whenever I hear them like decrying a game or a movie or a comic book or anything, I'm like 10 times more interested in it than I would normally be.
Yeah, I think I am too. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff. Like, for example, I wasn't following the Marvel stuff really closely because I read a lot of it. I read mostly indie books. But I wasn't following the Marvel stuff really closely when Miss Marvel hit the stands. And then I saw, like, nothing but hate videos on YouTube for this for, like, you know, weeks. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have to read this. And the book was and has been absolutely awesome. So.
Yeah.
Thanks, racists.
Yeah. Racists. Yeah, people, speaking of Miss Marvel, I know that I haven't read the run you're talking about. I think you're talking about the Kelly DeConnick run.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I haven't read that, but I know that the movie, Captain Marvel is like based a lot of like her writing around the character.
And, okay, so like I was talking about Miss Marvel, which is the Saladin Ahmed book. And but yeah, they did it to Captain Marvel too.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like,
yes,
the Carol Danvers.
Yeah. I just know people.
Yeah,
they've
never let up on that.
I just know they hate her. They hate her.
They call her Carol Manvers. Oh my God! And can you even imagine?
Do you know Brie Larson, the girl that plays her? She gets so much hate on Twitter.
I know, but the way she handles it is glorious.
I mean, she doesn't.
She comes right back at him.
To a degree, she doesn't really like comment on it too much. She doesn't pay attention. I remember an interview of her saying that, oh, wait, there's a whole bunch of people that hate me? I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I heard that. That
wait,
cool.
What? There's people that hate me?
Yeah, pretty. It was pretty
I'm
much.
I'm adorable. Like, that's how I feel when somebody hates me. I'm adorable. What?
I know. It's fun being adorable.
I mean, we are filled with a podcast filled with adorable people. So, you know.
Well, you know, I have adorable in my Twitter handle, you know. So I'm like certified adorable, I think.
Certified freak?
Certified weirdy.
I am definitely certified something.
I think we're all certified little something.
I'm a certified trauma girl, so you know I'm weird.
Oh, don't get me started.
Oh, trauma's awesome.
Lloyd Kaufman likes me, and he only likes weird people.
I mean...
You might be weird, but you're not weird in this group.
Yeah, that's true. You're not that weird. Well, I mean, we're all a little weird.
I have alternative boobs.
It's not weird.
To normal cis society, it is, I guess. I don't know.
Well, normal cis society is boring.
It is. It's the worst.
It's super boring.
I mean, there's no creativity. There's no love. There's no passion. It's just hate. You know, there's a lot of hate.
And things that have been around for like thousands of years, like Christianity.
Yeah, religion does play into a lot of this, huh?
Don't you want something new? Or you just want to read the same book for, you know, another thousand generations or whatever? Or
I want to invent a new god, I think. Something interesting and modern.
Let's just join Pastafarianism.
Although that's pretty interesting, but that's more of a parody than anything. I think what we need is, you know, a god who is, like, just okay with everything.
A god who is like Batman.
Yeah, the Batman type of god that'll sit there back and smoke a joint with you.
Maybe.
I'm sure Batman would smoke a joint with me.
I don't know. He seems
really
pretty
want to worship Batman, though.
But I mean, he doesn't kill anybody. He does what he thinks.
Well, unless you're in a Zack Snyder movie.
Well, Zack Snyder's a piece of shit, so.
Oh, wow. 7 minutes into the podcast and we're already shots fired.
I hate Zack Snyder.
I don't blame
you. Hot take over here.
Yes, very hot take. I dislike Zack Snyder because of the remake he made for Dawn of the Dead. It is one of the worst remakes I have ever seen in the history of remakes.
I will give Snyder the tiniest bit of credit in saying that he has an eye for visuals in certain ways. He is a good visual artist, but I don't think he knows how to put all his right ideas into the right basket to make the most compelling of films.
Wow, you know?
Wasn't he the guy who did Watchmen?
Yeah, yes.
I thought Watchmen was amazing.
I like
Watchmen. Fantastic movie.
I have no comment.
It's because he stayed so as true as he could to the source material. Like, he just tried to adapt it as closely as possible. Even though I do agree with some interpretations that I think he fundamentally doesn't understand the character of Rorschach. What do you think?
I have no comment because I've committed a sin. I have not read Watchmen and I have not watched Watchmen.
What?
You should definitely read Watchmen, and you should watch the HBO show.
I have it.
Didn't you read Doomsday Clock, though?
No.
Really?
I have these things on my shelf, but I have not read them.
That's funny, because I'm not the biggest comic person ever, but I've read some stories, and Watchmen is one of the things I've read. And
Everybody's read Watchmen, though, like, except me, apparently.
That's true. It's in college classes. It's assigned to college.
Yeah, it really
classes.
Is.
Yeah, I remember being at my local community college a few years ago.
Okay.
But I saw it in they had a bookstore, and in the bookstore was copies of Watchmen, you know. But it was like that bookstore was only meant for like textbooks, and then suddenly it was like textbooks, some basic reading materials, and boom, Watchmen.
That I do have a hardcover copy of Watchmen, like the deluxe copy that comes with like everything.
Oh, nice.
It has a bunch of extra stuff. You know how like the deluxe like books have.
Yeah.
Like,
I think I have that same one because I think someone stole my paperback copy that I had.
I actually won it on eBay for like $7 or something a couple months ago.
Not bad.
But I just haven't gotten to it yet. You know, the pile, I wish you guys could see the pile. Pile is big.
So yeah, I was talking about Doomsday Clock on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. I finally got all the way through it and just hated it. And you were really, really confused over that, I think.
Well, no, I don't think I was confused. I just asked why you disliked it. I wanted I was just looking for a vague answer because I have it. I just haven't read it.
Gotcha.
And I don't really like Geoff Johns very much.
I don't blame you.
So I'm just kind of curious if it's worth reading or not.
I don't like the way, okay. You know, it was cute and quaint and folksy when Geoff Johns started in on this Justice League or Justice Society fetish that he has. But it's gone too far, and it's infected everything he does. And I'm really, really, really tired of reading about how great the Justice Society is. I never cared about the Justice Society as a kid. I've yet to care about it as an adult. I'm sorry. I know this pisses people off, but Golden Age comics just weren't that great. I was raised in the 90s. I read comics even then from pretty much all eras, and I don't get it. I don't understand why we need to keep revisiting this one point in history over and over again and beating at that horse, which has been dead for 50 years.
Recently I read Showcase 22. If you know, Showcase 22 is the first appearance of Hal Jordan, as Green Lantern. And that book came out in 1959. So I think it's on the very end of the Golden Age, but it is a horrible story. Hal is very aggressive toward his, the woman, his love interest. He's very aggressive and almost borderline sexual assaulty toward her. In all three stories, because it comes with three, there's three separate Green Lantern stories in the book. And yeah, I agree with you. That's not really a time we need to try to replicate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, this was a point in history where you would refer to characters with their genders prefixed on their name. There was this one character in the Golden Age, and she literally didn't have a name. She was referred to as the girl reporter.
Oh, how can we be reporters?
Yeah, exactly. And it's all over the place. You see, I don't know. I think comics to this day still have this thing where people get into fist fights for absolutely no reason. You know, they'll be standing at the corner and someone will say, "Hey, what time it is?" "Well, what time is it?" And somebody will say, "No." And then, the first guy will punch the second guy in the face. And, that's just normal in comics, I think, to some extent. You see it a lot more in DC, I think, than you do in Marvel. But in the Golden Age, everything was like that. And the origin stories were so dumb. Everyone, a great, stupid Golden Age story was Zebra Man. It is the dumbest fucking thing you've ever read.
I think... I wouldn't say that all Golden Age stories are bad, but I will say it's any other decade of comic books. Comic books really reflect the decade that they were wrote in. And with that, you're going to get good and you're going to get bad.
On the other hand, Shazam stories were awesome. Early Golden Age Shazam.
Yeah, there's a good right there. Yeah.
It's still good. I mean, even reading it now, it is still exceptional, but that's not really the norm.
There's always exceptions to it in each era too. There's always good work. There's always, you just have to dig through
the majority of the garbage, and garbage. The more garbage, the further you go back.
Do you know what I actually think is pretty good, but I need to read more of it, is the horror comics from the 50s. You know, I think
House of Horrors.
Right. I think that stuff is actually, I'd say, maybe aged a little bit better than some of the superhero stuff.
It really has.
Because horror isn't a reflection of... So how I view it is that superheroes are a reflection of the time's morality and sense of understanding of the world and hope. But horror is reflection of what scares people, I guess, innately. And obviously of the time it's in, sure, it plays a part of it. It's why horror movies in the early 2000s were all torture porn. It's because of, the U.S.'s inclination to torture people. But
it's true.
Horror in particular in that time like if you go back in them, they're interesting pieces. I've read some of those like early tales from the, well, I mean, like it's Tales from the Crypt is based off of it. It's actually like the Vault of Horror and stuff like that. EC Comics, I should say, period. But
those were great. Actually, you know, they did have a title called Tales from the Crypt.
They did. You're right. It was originally the Vault of Horror and something else, right?
Mm-hmm. No, there were a few
came out around the time. Okay. But I don't know. I feel like those have aged better. Yeah,
definitely. Well, the Crypt Keeper in the old Tales from the Crypt was he was this tall, muscular figure with dark hair and a red robe, if I remember properly. And he was nowhere near as scary as Crypty from the TV show. The TV show really did improve on that.
Yeah, well, that was the 80s, you know, when practical effects and puppetry was kind of at its, you know, everyone was trying it. So, it worked. I love the show.
What do you guys think about, like, mentioning Tales from the Crypt, like, another show like that, the original Twilight Zone with Rod Serling? What do you guys think about that? That is one of my favorite things.
Same.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, Rod Serling was an interesting person. He had a lot of interesting perspectives.
Wait, what do you think of the new Twilight Zone show on CBS All Access?
I only watched the first episode because it was free on YouTube, and I actually found it interesting. I didn't love it, but I felt like they were really trying Twilight Zone-ish, though obviously more modern.
I feel about the first season of Twilight Zone. I've seen both seasons. The first season seems like more traditional Twilight Zone. It's really good. I enjoyed the first season, but the second season kind of goes off the rails in every episode. It just kind of, it feels like they're throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Do you think maybe they ran out of ideas in that way? Or you think they were meaning they're just trying to find their own identity?
Really? Because I feel like it was like the opposite. I felt like the first season was like throwing stuff at a wall, and the second season, they really, really got it. But I think the way that I watched it was different because the first season, they forced you to watch it every week. And the second season, they just sort of gave it to you all at once. So naturally, I just watched the whole thing in one sitting over a weekend. And I think that particular thing really influences how you feel about a show and
yes,
and the way you experience it.
I feel like, I actually think it's smart that some streaming services are purposely choosing to do week by week releases.
I enjoy it.
I feel like the week by week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
I hate it.
Oh, really? Because I think what I like about it is that it keeps the television show in the conversation more and longer, and you get to have a better analysis episode by episode, as opposed to looking at it, the thing, as its own whole. You know what I mean?
But if you're watching it week by week, you know, you're losing. So like a lot of these shows are very lore heavy. Like for example, The Boys, that's one show that they were doing all at once. And then they started doing it week by week. And the problem with The Boys in particular is that, you know, you really, there's a lot of self-referential stuff, like character names, and this person did that to that person at this time and that time, and, you know, the big companies doing this, that, and something else. And you're not going to remember it all if you're going week to week to week. The only way that makes perfect sense in your mind is if you get it all at once, so you don't lose the continuity as you
go. Yeah, I do agree. I feel like it's all dependent on the show, too. I feel like some shows work really well for binging, and others can be week to week, you know? But I did love seeing The Mandalorian as a weekly show, because it's like, oh, I get my weekly dose of Star Wars. This is exciting, mm-hmm. You know?
I have no interest in The Mandalorian. I still love you, though. Oh. I hate Star Wars. That's sorry. Okay.
Everyone has their flaws.
I only like George Lucas Star Wars.
You don't like the sequels?
No, I don't.
Okay, because
I'm not going to sit here and hate them and say that they're like shitty films. I just think that they're a poor representation of the Star Wars, that the part of Star Wars that I enjoy.
Okay. No, everyone has their own. Everyone has their own feelings.
A lot of man babies like to sit and bitch about the new Star Wars. I'm not one of those.
I think don't like them. My view is that every person who experiences Star Wars has their own generation of Star Wars, you know, like, so there's a whole bunch of people who grew up and love adore the prequels, you know. Me personally, I don't think they're very good movies, but but because I'm an original trilogy purist, but recently I have come around to going, well, wait a minute, I think I am looking at it through, I was a little bit older when I experienced the prequels, and my mindset was a little bit different. And so what I mean by generationally, everyone has their own version of Star Wars. It's what we're seeing with the complaints about it right now. It's literally just the next generation loving the prequels, because a lot of the people who are screaming about the new films are actually huge prequel fans, I've noticed, which is a weird connection.
Jar Jar is hot, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I'm just gonna put that out there.
What?
Yeah. Super hot.
I was going to say Jar Jar. He was hot. Ooh, that boy.
Yeah, man. Jar Jar. Seriously.
That the Billy guy. D. Or that Harrison
I
Ford.
I don't want to get into a full story. Right?
That Mark Hamill. That Mark Hamill. Ooh, man. Oh, you're right. The original trilogy had a perfect cast of.
That's true.
Yeah. It had a lot of things going for it that the prequels didn't and the sequels tried to have.
Yeah, I like the new films. I'm not huge on the third one because it was kind of a last minute mess because of Disney's sort of mishandling of the entire situation. But I really liked The Force Awakens because it was a nice return to form for me. And then I liked The Last Jedi, and then the entire cynicism of the internet made me not like The Last Jedi for a little bit, but then I realized that, wait a minute, their cynicism was making me dislike it more, and a second analysis of that movie actually makes me think it's rather smart, because it's directed by someone who's very competent, and written by someone who's very competent, and there's a lot of going for it, but then the Rise of Skywalker is just kind of, you know...
It kind of makes The Last Jedi pointless.
To a degree, but I still think Last Jedi really works as a film.
I think it works well as a film on its own.
Yeah.
Like, as its own thing, but, like, in the trilogy, like, if you watch the trilogy from, like, the Force Awakens to the Rise of Skywalker, I almost said The Last Jedi. I always forget that it's The Rise of Skywalker.
Rise is the last one, yeah.
I was like, is it The Return of Skywalker? I always forget.
It's confusing because last.
You know, we watch them all three in order. The Last Jedi stands out like, what? What was this movie? You know, like, it doesn't make sense.
If you think about it, there's a lot of depth to it, and there's a lot of care to the Star Wars universe as a whole. And actually, I would say it is the closest to being an original trilogy film, because I feel like we have this idealized version of what the original trilogy is, but then you go back and watch those films and then you realize, wait a minute, our understanding of those films is shaped completely differently by our experiences around those films and talking about it, but not the actual films themselves.
Maybe I hate the sequel trilogy because the internet has made me hate it. Because,
you know, that could be a thing too.
It definitely influenced me a little bit. I don't know. Like, you know, they've been out. When did The Force Awakens come out? Like 2015?
2015, yeah.
So it's been like 5 years of like complaints and bitching now from like Chuds, you know?
Yeah.
It's just become like a normal thing that people hate Star Wars now.
Yeah, I think it's infected a lot of people's perspectives. And I think as years go by, there will be a lot more appreciation for at least The Last Jedi. I think The Last Jedi will get reevaluated as a film on its own.
Do you remember what it was like to be a Star Wars fan like 10 years ago? It's way different than it is now to be a Star Wars fan.
Different because the internet has made things worse, and you know that from comics, and even knows that from Comicsgate. Sorry, I'm not trying to leave you out of the conversation, Eva, because you're not big on Star Wars.
I just don't know anything about it. I've seen none of these movies.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you should watch an original trilogy.
I did. It was garbage, and I haven't.
Wow.
What? It was garbage?
those were also garbage and I hated them. I've had no desire to watch any Star Wars since and not be involved in it.
But that's fine. If you don't want to be involved, it's all cool.
But it's cool.
I don't really care.
I just don't get it.
Garbage?
I don't understand why we need the Wizard of Oz in space.
Garbage, though?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Garbage? That's a bit harsh.
Oh, man, you didn't have to sit through it. Oh, my God. Those movies are terrible. I mean, they're boring. They're slow. The special effects are awful. And they keep revising them after the fact, so you've never actually seen them. Unless you've seen the latest one. Who sits there and watches Return of the Jedi in 26 different versions as they come out? It's ridiculous.
I don't watch it in 26 different versions of it. I watch the despecialized versions. Have you heard of those?
No.
That's where the fans have taken the original, they've taken the Blu-rays of the original trilogy and they've found different original sources for the original interpretations of the original films and edited a complete HD revision of the original trilogy without the added special effects.
What was somebody told me something the other day that was really funny along those lines that was really funny. I found it. The Avengers movies. I don't know if you guys are into the Avengers movies, but
yeah,
I love those.
There's four. Wait, there's five of them, right? How many of them are there? There's four.
Four.
Okay, so some chud on the internet took all four of those movies and cut every person of color woman out of it and like made a cut of it.
And I actually did get my hands on a copy.
Did you? Is it an incoherent mess? Because I feel like it would be.
It is an incoherent mess. There's no there. I mean, it's interesting if like academically that's what you're into. You know, just the fact that somebody sat there and they're like, oh, there's a woman in that scene. Goodbye. You know, that's literally all they did.
Imagine
Black Panther isn't in it at all. He's not even in frame.
Wow.
Wow. That's a lot of dedication, you know, for
being a
just for being an asshole.
It makes it even more sour now that Chadwick's passing, you know?
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started on that. I've seen a lot of positive stuff about Chadwick, and I've seen like the most racist, vile people comment on, you know.
I'm so glad I didn't go into that section. I avoided anything about Chadwick because losing him was kind of horrible.
I made the mistake of going into a comment section on Facebook of all places.
I'm sorry.
So
Facebook is the worst of all Nazi websites.
I'm not I'm not like a Chadwick Boseman like super fan or anything. You know what I mean? Like I think it's very sad that he passed and everything, but I think it's like really like some of these people went like way out of their way to like say some fucked up vile stuff, you know, about somebody that they don't know. You know what I mean? Like you don't know this man, like. I don't know. Facebook
is because these people are dedicated to their own hatred. They're in their own little world, you know. They feel that they're more worse.
It's pretty crazy. They literally don't live in the same reality the rest of us do.
I don't think anything has gotten worse. I think it's just the internet has given everyone a platform. Like, I was going to mention this, but if you literally go back, what's fascinating is if you go back to fan magazines from the 1980s, early 1980s, when The Empire Strikes Back came out. I'm going to go back to Star Wars for just a second, but this is a great example of that. there was people writing in to the fan magazines talking about how they hated The Empire Strikes Back in a very similar fashion to they hate The Last Jedi. This is from the time, and one of the reasons was because there was a black man in it.
Well, also, like, around the same time, those same guys were writing angry letters to the X-Men letter columns about how they did not like all the diversity in politics.
You missed the point of the X-Men.
In the X-Men.
You missed the point of the X-Men.
Completely.
If you're going to bitch about that. Completely. I hate that. Okay, so.
Well, what's funny about that is that this isn't revisionist history. These guys were actually saying the same stuff at the time. It's just now. They're much older and they don't remember saying it. So they think, you know, saying all this stuff now somehow makes it true. But the problem is they thought it was true then. They've always been crazy.
Yes. this is, the internet has just given everyone a platform. Like, you can go in the 70s and complain about something online. The only way you could do that is if you did it in a freaking magazine or you
printed your own bookstore.
I want to go back to the X-Men real quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem.
I was in my LCS, my local comic book store. I don't go to any of the city comic book stores for my subscription. I have one, like a little, like the tiniest one. Like, it's the cutest little comic book shop, okay? I like to support, you know, the small shop. Mm-hmm. And the owner is, like, really nice. He's made me feel nothing but comfortable and welcome since I've been in there. Anyway, I was in there and I was looking at some issues and I was just, you know, meandering around like I usually do up there to pick my weekly books up. And I heard these two guys up at the counter and they were bitching about, they were like, they took Bobby Drake from us. Did you hear Bobby Drake was gay? I can't believe that they took Bobby Drake from us. And I'm just sitting there like, what, first of all, I like walked up and I was like, what do you mean they? Like, who, like, what? Like, who is they? And first of all, that
well, like technically, when they say ago, they, dude, they mean it's like the Jews at Marvel. I mean, let's just be honest. Yes. Like, first, that's what they mean.
I'm like, first of all, you missed the point of the X-Men. Second of all, that was 20 years ago. Are you still complaining about it? But anyway, it was like I encounter stuff like that all the time in like comic book stores. Just like these really unpopular, chatty opinions, you know, about comics.
I think you're braver than I am. I would not go to any comic book store where people like that frequented.
Yeah.
I'm gonna queer the place up. What can I say?
I think one thing that's different about, you know, obviously not being out, you know, on my friend's podcast, The Violent Wanderers, Alexis said it very well, that when you happen to at least appear white, whatever, other white people specifically, or assume that you will have the same opinions as yes. they do about yes. race.
Yes. Oh God, yeah.
Or sexuality or whatever, you know? And so they'll be like, it's just this crazy thing of like, someone will come up to you and like, I've had it in my life so many times where someone is like, you know, being super toxic masculine, you know, so much toxic masculinity and like expecting me to go along with it. And
well,
so,
you know,
like,
it's old white guys who've been persecuted all this time and nobody knew.
Yeah. I love the fact.
Jesus.
Comics. slight detour.
True words have never been spoken.
I'm sorry.
Slight detour here, but I still think one of the funniest incidents I've ever had with a comics gay jerk was them insisting that I was racist because I refused to watch a YouTube video from a chud who happened to be black and bisexual, but I didn't know that because I don't click the videos that those people link to, and the video link, you know, the little picture that you get for the video did not show anybody in it. So because I said I'm not I said I'm not watching something from a fucking idiot, and then they
wait, being not liking idiots makes you a racist.
Yes,
now?
Apparently, apparently you're racist if you don't agree with every single person of color.
What?
Well, not only that, but you know they'll call you a racist if you don't like, you know, their okay. crazy white bread only.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Have you ever gotten this one?
What?
I don't know what I was going to say. I'm sorry. I forgot.
It's okay.
It's all right. We're rolling into this. This is
I know.
Our first podcast.
I know. Like, y'all are talking. I'm like, oh, shit. I got
it's our first time.
And then by the time I am able to say it, I'm like, damn, what was I going to say?
You know, you're not always the best when it's your first time. You need practice.
Yeah, we're going to pop your cherry yet. Don't worry.
My cherry has long been popped. Actually, 3 years ago, yesterday.
Congratulations.
Woo, happy anniversary.
Yeah. I got my cherry popped on my birthday 3 years ago. I was about 4 or 5 months into my transition at that time.
That's a great way to remember it.
I know, right? I don't know the guy. I forget his name. I forget what he looks like. I forget everything. God. Yeah, I was blackout drunk. It was one of those.
Did you should have played the Lonely Islands, I just had sex afterwards, you know.
I think I did. I honestly think I did. That was a different time for me, you know.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
We should have done like in the music video where we had a cake prepared for this and everything, you know.
Yeah, I have a birthday cake downstairs that
I haven't. Do you remember the cake in the video? They hold it up and it says congrats on the sex on the cake. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's awesome. I love you too.
I love you too as well. This is fun so far. It's fun. This is our first show. The Gals of Geekdom, right? I mean, I'm glad this is working out. I'm excited about this. This is a lot of fun.
So, what comics have y'all been reading lately?
I plan to read some more comics. I've been playing more games than reading comics, but I did see the, I don't know if you two saw, but did you see that Comixology was having, I don't know if it still is, a whole bunch of, like, almost every Black Panther comic ever published for free?
I did see that.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't get any because I'm stubborn or lazy.
Oh, okay. I spend like an afternoon getting buying hundreds of comics from there just because
somebody told me, but I was high and I was sitting in my bed and I was like, if I go get these, I have to get up and sit like down at my desktop, and like I just never got around to it.
I heard since I'm a little bit more newbie to comics, specifically to Marvel. I've read a lot of the quintessential Batman and DC related stuff, but I haven't really read much Marvel except out of a few things. Do you have like a preference of what you like to go to with Black Panther? Like, is there a run that you like?
My favorite Black Panther, and I haven't really read much Black Panther stuff, but I like the earlier Black Panther stuff when he was drawn by Jack Kirby. I think that's my favorite Black Panther, like as aesthetically that I've seen. I haven't really read much Black Panther, to be honest. I haven't really gotten into the character that much because I'm not that big of a Marvel fan, you know. I've just been slowly getting into Marvel lately. It's just been poking around, you know.
There are a couple of Marvel books I read, but that's not really one of them.
Okay. I just was more curious. I was reading on Twitter, someone was recommending Christopher Priest's Black Panther run in the 90s. Apparently that was good.
I don't know.
I also heard good things about the Ta-Nehisi Coates run.
Oh, really?
Yes, I've heard it's very political. Ooh. And that, you know, if you're into following, you know, the ins and outs of what's going on with just the world of Black Panther, that's the one you want to read.
I think I probably got it. I don't know. I didn't look at every title. I just kind of like, the problem with the Comixology thing was you couldn't get collections of things. You had to actually like purchase each individual comic issue separately. So
that's been one of my ongoing complaints with Comixology. They don't do collections nearly enough.
No, they should have just clicked a buy all button, but like it was weird. It was like you had to buy it individually, but it was all $0. But if you looked, it was crazy. If you looked at like the total of what I bought, it was like over $400 of stuff, you know, and it was all for free.
That's pretty cool.
So it was like,
the one I read this week that I was really, really excited about was Wrong Earth by Ahoy Comics. Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote a review of Billionaire Island, which is another book that they mm-hmm. publish. But I read the summary for Wrong Earth, and I'm like, oh, man, that just sounds too crazy. Because it's sort of like Adam West Batman sort of evolves into the Punisher over years. And now in our universe, where it's a comic book, it's one piece of history. It goes from point A to point B. But in the book, it's actually two separate and distinct universes where this stuff is happening, and there's a bad guy called Number One who can travel between them, and it gets really weird. So you've got like this Adam West Batman type figure with this sort of Frank Castle Punisher type figure, and they switch worlds, and it is the craziest shit you've ever read. It is engaging, it's fun. I had a great time with it. I can't wait to read more. There's only six issues out right now.
You just made me way more excited. That sounds really interesting.
It's a ton of fun. And the other cool thing is that they do it like it's a new book, mm-hmm. right? But they do it in such a way that like it feels like a much older book. They've got like side stories from like the Golden Age that are drawn like Golden Age books, and they're executed perfectly. And then they've got like some Silver Age, and they work up as the series goes to like the more modern stuff. Mm-hmm. So reading it, you're reading something that really feels like it has a sense of history to it. And I thought that was really cool. How about you, Aaron? What have you been reading?
What have I been reading? Nothing really that is interesting, like you said. I've just been reading the current DC stuff, which honestly is pretty stale right now.
Yeah.
I don't have any highlights about current comics that have come out recently. Batman, we're like halfway through the Joker War right now, and I've completely lost interest in it. Death Metal was really cool. I really, really like Death Metal, but trying to explain that to like somebody that doesn't know what it is, from go like the storyline of what is it, Dark Knight Metal, the Death Metal, mm-hmm. trying to explain that.
So is Metal a direct follow-up to Dark Knight Metal?
Yeah, Death Metal was like a direct sequel. Have you read Metal?
I started it, but I completely lost interest when we got to Dr. Shazam.
See, that's the thing I hear. Everybody loses interest. I'll be honest with you, like all my DC stuff that I've been like jamming lately has just been canceled. Like in the past like month or two, like everything that got canceled.
Are you reading Three Jokers?
Cancel culture strikes again.
I have. Yes. I have issue one. I just got it yesterday and I haven't read it yet. My current read stack is a bunch of Scooby-Doo comics that I picked up yesterday.
That's fun.
Scooby-Doo's awesome. There's nothing wrong with Scooby-Doo.
I picked up a Scooby-Doo 100-page giant, which is awesome. I didn't even know they made that. And then I picked up the 50th anniversary issue 100. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
And then all the facsimiles I was telling you about. Like, I got the first appearance of Blade, the Hulk, She-Hulk. A bunch of different, like, first appearance stuff that fun. I got to read. Yeah, yeah, I haven't really been reading that much new stuff. I recently read Batman Year Run for the first time, and then I followed it up immediately with Year Two. And I'm pretty much sick of Batman. It's too much Batman, you know? Sorry, guys. I am under the influence. I'm inebriated right now.
No, that's okay. You're fine. You know what? I think the comics I've read the most of individually is I've read the most Batman. I went through a lot of Batman.
What's your favorite Batman?
My favorite Batman story is the Long Halloween.
One that I haven't read. That
one. You haven't read that one?
No, I haven't.
It's really, really good, and it's buried under it's buried a bit under the weight of like, you know, Hush and The Dark Knight Returns, and The Man Who Laughs, right? Is that what that was the other, but it's buried under those other popular or like Arkham Asylum, you know, buried under those other really popular Batman runs. But The Long Halloween has like such an interesting storyline, and each issue is like based on like, I think like from what I remember, the gimmick being that it's like a 13 issue stuff, but like each issue is like based on like the holiday, so like that's like kind of from that time. And there's a giant story that covers like pretty much his entire rogues gallery. So if you want like that's a good cool Batman story with like almost every villain, it's kind of like there. And the narrative is interesting. It's about like a murder, and you have to figure out like who's doing it and who's behind it. And it's like a really good detective Batman story as opposed to a action Batman story. You know,
do you guys read Judge Dredd at all?
No, I've just seen the movie. I mean, not the not, not the.
I just played the Sega Genesis game.
Not the Stallone version. The.
Cool. IDW's got a Judge Dredd series that's running to this day.
Oh, that's cool.
That is as good or better than the UK Fleetway editions of Judge Dredd. Fleetway editions are awesome. If you can get Judge Dredd or Batman in Fleetway, if you can find some of those books that have been published, they are absolutely amazing. They are. The format's different, and they focus on this compressed storytelling that's really, really good. But anyway, the new IDW series just it does the same thing, and it is so, so well done. I can't recommend it enough. I'm glad I just discovered this existed a couple of weeks ago, so I've been gradually just sort of reading my way through the whole thing. It is so much fun. It is so weird. It's a completely surreal book. If you like fast moving gory action scenes and really just cutting cynical social commentary, Judge Dredd is always a good read.
I'd probably really like that, actually.
You what?
I love I love that style, so totally would be down to read that.
I'm more of a sucker on like superheroes type comics. You guys just asked me what I read recently, and I like blanked out, and I read All New Wolverine Volume 1 last night. I completely forgot.
The Laura Kinney one.
Yeah, the Laura Kinney one. I read that one last night, and I really enjoyed that one.
One issue where it was Laura Kinney versus Logan with this weird time travel thing. It got railed on by the Chuds, but I actually read it, and it was a ton of fun. If you can find it, the crossover, totally worth it.
I will keep an eye out for that. I remember there was a crossover with Spider-Gwen. It was an annual crossover with Laura and Spider-Gwen. They, like, switched bodies.
Oh, nice.
I remember they switched bodies, and they had to, like, find each other and, like, find a way to switch bodies back. And Gwen was, like, Laura, right? And she has the claws. The first time she went to like pop the claws, she was like, her hands were like facing toward her face, and she just like popped the claws in her head and just fell over dead.
Oh God!
It was a really fun and cute issue with Gwen and Laura.
They did the same gimmick. This was years and years ago, but they did that exact same gimmick with Logan and Peter Parker years and years ago, and that was also fun.
Maybe that's probably why they did it again. Like,
yeah, that's probably why it's a reference, most likely. Yeah.
Yep.
Probably.
That was in.
Spider-Man comics.
I love awkward silence.
I was just saying, I love Spider-Man. Spider-Man is like, it was the first superhero my dad ever read me, like when I was 4 years old. And I was kind of obsessed with Spider-Man all the way up until my 30s. Just Spider-Man everything. If you read some of my favorite Spider-Man writing of all time has been the recent Chip Zdarsky Spider-Man. I think I'm getting his name right. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But yeah. He just really gets the character. They did one with Spider-Man. It's on Comixology. You can get it. It's called Spider-Man Life and Times. And it's sort of this alternate universe take where time passes in the Marvel universe the way it does in ours. It's surreal, and it's a lot of fun. You should check it out.
Cool. Definitely should. Being the only person who doesn't read comics on like a regular here,
we'll convert you. Don't worry.
There's a lot of things I need to put on my list.
Jason Aaron's run of Spider-Gwen.
Excellent.
It's one of my favorite things ever. I have the hardcover deluxe copy of each volume, and it's one of my favorite stories and like characters that I've read recently in modern comics. It actually got me back into modern comics, like after a 5 or 6 year hiatus, you know? When did that come out? Was that in like 2015, 2014, something like that? I don't know. I have no idea.
I got to it late,
but it's one of my favorite things. And I think it's the original, like the first run of Spider-Gwen.
Are you reading Spider-Woman at all? The Jessica Drew Spider-Woman, the new run?
I am not. I got issue one, and that's it.
I hate the cover art for it. I really do. I'm glad they're doing variants. But the book is action-packed. It is, it's a really good take on the character. Sort of brings her back to basics.
Yeah, I got that feeling from the first issue. I don't know why I didn't subscribe to it. I've been trying not to subscribe to things.
I've been reading that one on Comixology. They're only like 4 or 5 issues in, so you haven't missed a lot.
I could probably catch up on that pretty quickly.
Do you have I think since now might be a good time to talk about it. Do you both of you have like a superhero? Well, I mean, Eva, you said that Spider-Man's your favorite superhero. Is that correct to say, or?
That's my favorite Marvel superhero. I think in general, I'm all over the place with my reading. The way my favorites seem to work is it's like, you know, whatever's my favorite is usually the one I have freshest in my head at any moment.
Oh, okay. So it's just like, it's all your moment by moment based in terms of what you're most excited about.
Kind of. Like for right now, Grasshopper Man is my favorite thing that I've read in a long time. But if I read something really cool tomorrow, you know, it's going to be that, probably.
Aaron, do you have like a favorite superhero that you can just go like, you know?
That's when I was a kid, I would probably have told you Ghost Rider.
Okay.
I was a really big Ghost Rider fan because that was the first comic I ever got. It was Ghost Rider number 1, volume 2. The first appearance of Danny Ketch. And that run, I completely fell in love with the character of Ghost Rider. So I would have to say as a kid, that was my favorite character. As of lately, I would probably have to go with Batgirl. I absolutely adore Barbara.
Yeah, I love Batgirl.
She's awesome.
Yeah. I don't blame you at all. She's a great character.
Hey. How about Silk? What do you think of Silk?
I cosplayed her at Comic-Con last year.
Oh, nice.
I don't like her as much as I like Gwen, but I do like the Silk from like the Gwen run.
Nice.
There was a crossover with Gwen. The Gwen run at one point. There was like a crossover where their stories like crossed over, and that's when I like figured out who Silk was and like learned about the character and stuff.
I need to get more into that. Well, I guess for heroes for mine, I think if I would like Aaron said, it changes when you age or so. I always have. I think one thing that when I was younger that really got me into superhero stuff was like, obviously I saw the Schumacher Batman films in the 90s, but I think the superhero movie that got to me was Spider-Man, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man from 2000. So Spider-Man was a huge character that I loved. In more recent years, I have a soft spot. In general, I have a soft spot for anti-heroes. I like writing them. I love action movies of anti-heroes. So
they are fun.
Yeah, I kind of love Spawn. I know it's not DC or Marvel, and I could tell you individual characters for both, but I just love McFarlane's Spawn. Like, that character is so interesting to me. He has such a tragic backstory. Go ahead.
Who's your favorite Spawn artist?
I mean, obviously, probably McFarlane, right?
then you probably love McFarlane's Spider-Man, because you were just talking about how Spider-Man was one of your favorites.
True.
McFarlane's Spider-Man is pretty awesome.
I need to actually read his run, but I've seen his art from that. And it's
the awesome. Artwork is very similar to Spawn.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but Sci-Fi had a documentary on Todd McFarlane like a month ago.
Yeah, he was jerking himself off, I know.
I watched it, but it was interesting.
I have a love hate with Todd.
I just like his work.
I have I have most of his Spawn run on Spawn. I think it's issue 1 to 24.
Okay.
Was his like run on Spawn before somebody else took over.
Yeah.
The illustration duties. I have his I have most of his comics from the original Spider-Man run, and then he got like a reboot run. 2 in the 90s. They like gave him his own number one. And okay. I have that run too of Todd's work.
Yeah, I need to actually read more of his work. Honestly, how I experience most of my superhero content is through other media, you know? So my connection to comics is not one necessarily from reading a lot. It's more from like following superhero adaptations. And so like for my mind, whenever I think of Spawn, as much as I think of Todd's art, I think much more of the animated HBO series.
I immediately think of
the art. That horrible Spawn movie.
No. I think of the art. Going back to what you guys were asking me, what I read recently, I read Batman Year 2 recently, and the artist, I forget his name, but he did the first two issues. It was a 4-issue series. He did the first two issues, and he had left DC for whatever reason, right? And Todd McFarlane was chosen to draw the last two issues. And as soon as I saw Batman drawn by Todd McFarlane, I was like, tell me that doesn't look like Spawn. And it was like 7 years before issue 1 of Spawn came out. It was like he had this brain seed in his head.
I'm Googling it now so I can look. But yeah. Yes, I see it.
Is that the one where Batman just kills a bunch of people? Like it's nothing.
Year 2? No, yeah. He doesn't kill anybody. He uses a gun, though. He does use a gun.
Right.
That's the one thing.
No, there's this one. It came out in the 90s. I don't think it was year 2, but there was this one. It was done by Todd McFarlane. Batman just leaves a bloody trail in his wake the whole time. It was pretty awesome, but it was so weird and so offbeat that I think that was the charm of it.
Yeah. Todd is a cool guy. I don't know if you guys have ever met Todd.
No.
But
I met him 5 minutes.
5 minutes for what?
At the Penta in the 90s. I got him to sign.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I met him for the first time last year when he was receiving his like world record thing for 300 issues of Spawn.
Oh, right.
I was there and I had actually met him and got something signed. That nice. Was cool.
That's very cool.
I haven't met Rob Liefeld yet, but who knows? Maybe I will.
He's at like every convention though, isn't he?
Yeah, he will sign.
He occasionally retweets me.
Oh, really?
If Rob Liefeld signs a book, it decreases in value. Yes.
Is it really? Wow.
I'm not even kidding. People hate him.
I love him. I think he's funny.
He dunks on so many like other artists though.
I'm That's indifferent.
Okay. He's like the OG.
He is. I have a wall of his books right over here. New Mutant 86, 87, 98, 100, X-Force 1, 11, Wolverine 154, 155.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, with Liefeld, everybody points out how bad his original work was. Like, those early Liefeld books were they were objectively bad. But the thing is, he knows they're objectively bad, and he will make fun of himself. But he's become a much, much better artist. His work over the last, I'd say, 20 years has proven itself. I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with. I don't think he's a great writer, but he's an amazing
artist. I subscribed
to
his new series. What is it? Snake Eyes? G.I. Joe Snake Eyes?
Oh, cool.
And I think that's some of his best artwork that I've seen lately. I mean, there's a lot of bad artwork from him, but I guess you're going to get that with any artist, you know? They're not going to be on their, like, 100% game, like, every single issue.
You know, when he was working at Marvel and DC and even early Image, I mean, he was young. He's not much older than I am. And I was following his work when I was, you know, 15 and 16. You know, he was super young. He got in work published by major publishers.
Hawking Dove was his first major publisher, which I think is some of his best work. I have it I have it in a box over there, the whole series. Hawk and Dove, Rob Liefeld, and Jim Kessel, I think, was the writer. But that's some of the best work that I think I've ever seen Liefeld do, honestly.
Nice. I like everything Hawk and Dove, just in general.
Me too.
If Hawk and Dove is on it, I will read it.
You got a picture of a Hawk and Dove out right now?
From what, Rob Liefeld specifically, or just in general?
Just in general, Hawk and Dove.
When I Google, this is all I find.
Just Liefeld, yeah.
I know this is going to be an auditory podcast, so obviously the listeners aren't going to be able to hear it.
Yeah, but that's live. That's from the new 52 run.
Okay, this is like the first thing that pops up when I Google just Hawk and Dove.
I have that trade paper.
That's definitely Hawk and Dove.
Yeah, definitely.
I just, you know.
They're just such great characters. They're great in the comics. I was really, really excited to see them adapted in Titans. They've never been on screen before, so it's a real
treat. I haven't seen season two of Titans, but I really did enjoy their characters on Titans. They were
so much fun.
The actors played them so, like, I never really heard of them until the show, honestly. But then I saw them in the show. I was like, wow, these characters are fascinating, you know?
I was like, man, I've been waiting for this for 30 years. Seriously, that was my honest thought.
So did it make you happy seeing them? It did.
I cried.
Okay, good. Because sometimes you see an adaptation and you're just like, you know
who I want to see?
Yeah, but this one was perfect.
Yeah.
Do you know who I want to see on the live screen?
Who?
I want to see Booster Gold.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Didn't they say they were going to work
Gold
on that?
Booster Gold is one of my favorite characters of all time.
I want to see – I love Dan Jurgens. I love Dan Jurgens because no matter what he's writing for DC, he will shove Booster in that story. I love it. Booster's on – oh, my God. I have – that's my pop back here, Booster and Harley.
Considering
but, the thing is that Booster's whole like thing in life is, you know, getting a movie made about his exploits. So I think it would be funny to do a movie about Booster Gold trying to get a movie sold.
That's
and how the movie is the movie.
Oh, so pull a Deadpool and make it a little fourth wall breaking.
Oh, this predates Deadpool by like decades.
Oh, I know, but I'm talking about the movie adaptation. You know.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Booster predates Deadpool by about 4 years.
Okay.
Longer than that.
Nope, 87.
84.
87 was when Dan Jurgens came out with the Booster Gold one. It was his first appearance.
I have to check on that. Because he appeared in Superman before that.
So we need to add like another member who's just silent, who Googles things and then double checks our facts.
Fake chickens.
I'm right about everything always.
No, it's okay.
I think we're all right about everything at the same time, even when we disagree with each other.
It's just that we come from alternate universes. That's all there is to it.
Oh, first appearance. Okay. Yeah. I got it right here. First appearance of Booster Gold number one, February 1986.
86.
Okay. Well, you're still wrong on the year.
Still wrong.
You were wrong too.
Well, I was closer than you are.
You said 84. No, I said 87.
Okay, so we were both. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
No, we're gonna do Price is Right rule. So I guess
you're not my real mom.
You know what? My favorite thing about Booster is that I read recently. The death of Superman. He gets like completely annihilated by Doomsday.
Oh, nice.
He like picks him up by the feet and starts swinging him around, like smashing him into he like throws him out of orbit too. Like Superman has to catch him where he was gonna like go out of the atmosphere. Oh, Booster.
Wow. Is there any other comic characters that you liked or wanted to discuss or bring up or ask about?
I know Booster's dating Harley Quinn now, which is freaking awesome.
Oh.
Really? I didn't know that.
They've been teasing it for a while, but they finally got together.
Wasn't Harley Quinn dating Poison Ivy?
Has that happened officially in the comics?
No.
No, that's a shame. Because that's happening on the cartoon right now, right?
They're separated. Harley and Ivy are like split. they haven't been together in like a really long time in comics. It's been a while.
People love that. They really should just
Harley. She's part of the Bat family now.
Okay.
She's kind of like Batman's acting Robin right now in the current storyline.
Okay. That's interesting.
Which is really cool. Like, she recently found out that Batman is Bruce Wayne. And she recently, like, found out, like, they took her to the Batcave. And she was like, ah, this is awesome. So she's, like, she's on this, her character has transformed into, like, a good person. She's like an anti-hero. She's like a Deadpool.
She's turned into an anti-hero.
Yeah, she's like a Deadpool type of character, you know?
Right. That's kind of what Birds of Prey was.
And I absolutely adore her character. The run that recently ended with issue 75, it was like 2 weeks ago. It got canceled, but Sam Humphries was writing that one. And I adore Sam Humphries. Everything I've read from him just pulls my little emotional heartstrings.
That's cool. Harley's a great character. I'm glad she's been embraced the way she is.
I'm glad they did that progression with her. You know, like her character, she works better like not being a Joker sidekick. You know what I mean? She works better on her own, being her own person, and she wants to be good to be good. You know?
I think it was a smart idea to give Joker someone to play off of, especially in Batman the Animated Series. And she was a great character then. But I do appreciate, like you said, the progression from her being someone's side character, abused side character, to
hella a full abused.
On, yeah, to a full on anti-hero, you know, regular. Often regular member of Suicide Squad, often now part of the Bat family, you know, just her own character. They've really done a good job of making her identity.
She is awesome. I cry so much throughout Harley's like books, like the newer ones. She's just amazing. I would read from Rebirth all the way up. There's 75 issues. From Rebirth to like when it got canceled, and it's just an incredible journey all the way. It's just an incredible journey. That's what got me back into DC Comics too, is Sam Humphries Harley Quinn.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they,
one of my
they...
favorite Harley stories was Harleen by that one guy whose name is stupidly hard to pronounce. I think it's Dejan Cijak or something like that. His artwork has been so good. I love, he's like the Jack Kirby of our times, this guy. You have to check out his art. He's got this very particular style. I really think he personally defines the modern age of comic book art.
Nice.
And he wrote and did the art for the story, and even the writing's fantastic. So like that is quite an accomplishment, because usually you don't find, you know, artists and writers who are as good at writing as they are with art. But in this case, you see all of it, and it's a stupendous little limited series. I got it in trade paperback hardcover. It's super nice.
I got the individual issues.
Cool.
Thanks.
It was one of my favorites. I might actually reread this soon.
I'm sure there's several books of you that, like, is there any, like, so Aaron, is there any specific book, physical thing that you, like, love the most having physical? Like, is it, like, an item that just kind of, like, that you just love owning, you know?
Yes. I have I actually got it recently, not too long ago, like a month or two ago. My favorite thing is New Gods 1 first print.
Oh, nice.
Jack Kirby.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It's like $165 eBay, and wow. I scored it for $40.
Wow.
So it's like I own most of that run too. I'm trying to collect the entire run. There's 11 issues in the run, and I have 1, 2, 6, and 10, I think.
Yeah, nice. So, like, you gotta get.
Yeah. I got some to go, but
You gotta collect them all, like Pokemon.
They're pretty expensive, but when I find them cheap, you know, I gotta get them.
Nice, that's cool. With those collectible sort of things, they could really drop you down in terms of money.
Yeah.
I have a few things that I love in my collection. I know, Aaron, you've been to New York Comic Con. But I don't know if you noticed there was a, I haven't been to New York Comic Con, but I noticed it at, you know, like over here in LA, I've noticed it at like WonderCon and at San Diego Comic Con. There's a booth called the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, usually at conventions. Have you run into that?
Not that I can recall.
So it's a, I think it's like a, they basically like are in terms of like, they always try and like stay in terms of keeping comics alive, fighting for certain, you know, rights and stuff. It's a legal defense fund essentially. But what they do is they get like these books and they get artists or like the original roughers or whatever to sign it. And then they sell it for, it's usually more expensive, but it's like worth it. So like, I think one of the coolest things I have is a hardcover of Watchmen, but signed by Dave Gibbons.
Oh, that's cool.
So not Alan Moore, but yeah, no, I was so happy to like grab that one because I love that booth. If you go there, it's like, oh wait, like it has some of the most iconic like graphic novels, and they're actually signed by at least one of the artists inside. Okay. You know.
So have you guys read anything by Zenoscope?
No.
Zenoscope. No, I haven't. Zenoscope is a studio, or like I guess they're called comic studio, or is it studio or publisher, whatever they are. Yeah, they do like grim fairy tales and like a lot of wank stuff, you know.
Oh, sure.
a lot of jerk comics, you know, spank comics. Yes, that's what I'm like a lot of girls and like almost wearing no clothes and stuff. Anyway, right. I got this the other day. It was a custom cover that was commissioned for my comic store that I go to.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's signed by the artist and the store owner.
Nice.
And he pretty much gave it to me. I didn't pay a thing for it. He just slipped it in my bag and he's like, I don't know how much I want to charge for these yet. Just take one.
That's cool.
Nice. That's really
even
nice.
Even though I'm not like a huge fan of Zenoscope, because like I said, they make spank material.
Well, hey, some of the best stuff is happening in spank world right now, so I wouldn't write them off totally.
I mean, I get it, but it's not for me. Like, I don't want to spank it to like hot women. Like, I'm not like that attracted to women. So like, why?
Yeah.
Like, it's not for me, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? It's not for me.
Everyone has their own thing.
I have friends that are drawing porn comics right now. And, I mean, I don't think it detracts from how awesome they are as people or artists at all.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. I agree with you there. It's just, I mean, I don't know.
No one should be judged for what they like.
No. No judging. I'm just, I don't like women in skimpy outfits. It's just, you know.
How dare you?
I don't.
Why don't you like boobs, goddammit?
I don't spank it to. I want something to read, not spank it to. I don't even watch porn, guys. I don't even watch porn.
Yeah, me either.
Fuck porn.
Mm-hmm.
Silence.
Porn is boring.
It I'm is. Sorry. It's so boring. Like, I'd rather have sex.
Exactly.
And if I want porn, I'm just looking in the mirror.
You're just that hot. You can't help it.
True.
He's like, true. True. True.
I can't. You can't lie.
Oh, boy. No, people think that's weird. I was talking to this guy, and I was like, I don't watch. He asked me, he's like, are you watching porn? And I'm like, no, I don't watch porn. Why would you ask me that? And he's like, you don't watch porn? Are you serious? You got to be lying to me. It was just like this thing, like, and I experience that a lot when I tell people, like, what do you mean you don't watch porn? Like, that's unheard of. Like, I know how porn is made now, okay? I don't, it's not real.
No, of course not.
It's not real.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't have to be real, though.
No, it works for, you know.
You're selling the fantasy.
I'm not the customer that wants that fantasy. You know, I'll go out and get my own fantasy. It's easier than it's ever been for me. Look, men are aggressive. Like, I could probably go outside right now and find somebody to have sex with in like minutes. Like, I don't do that. I don't want to do that, but I'm saying I probably could do that.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You're not wrong.
Like, it's the easiest thing. Like, I went out yesterday and like, oh my God. As soon as I was walking down, like, on my block, like, I literally still within, like, eyesight of my porch, and, like, the first cat call happened. Oh, and boy. I'm like, well, there's one. I wonder how many I'm going to get, you know, on this trip.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing back east, the cat calls. People still do that.
God, it sucks. And then, yo, the guys that are like, hey, baby, and then you don't say anything, like, I got my earphones in or whatever, I'm listening to music, a podcast, whatever the case may be, and they get mad because I don't respond, and then they'll follow me down the street trying to yell at me and get my attention and stuff. I've had that happen so many times.
Oh.
Oh, God, that sounds scary.
That sounds terrifying.
It's like, go away.
People are weird.
People are dangerous.
Cis men are weird.
I told you about that woman with the knife, didn't I, Eva?
Oh, yeah.
On the train? Yes.
Right.
Oh, my God. Okay, I get where she was coming from.
Story racist time. People suck. Wait, we're on the podcast. You have to explain the full story.
Okay, so I was
true.
I was on the train yesterday coming home from the comic store. I told you guys I went out to the comic store. And there was this lady on the train. She happened to be black. And she was very, very upset with a bunch of younger white people that were like, I guess they got into a dispute before I had got on the train, right? So they had moved to the back of the train and she was at the front of the train. So we went to sit down, you know, a couple stops later, the train's full. This woman is like yelling, flicking a knife, you know, and she's yelling like crazy stuff. She's like, I'm going to kill all these white people. Just flicking this knife. And every time she would like, I understand. I get her anger. I empathize with her 100%. But every time she said white people, she looked directly at me and was like flicking the knife. And I'm like, I understand I'm the only white person here. So like when you take your anger out on like the whole like white infrastructure or whatever, it was just very uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was very scary. She kept flicking the knife, looking right at me and saying, I'm going to kill all these white people. I'm going to kill them all and let God sort them out. She kept looking right at me and I'm just sitting there. My heart's beating really fast. I'm like, yo, am I about to die? But, you know, that's just – I'm the minority in my neighborhood. Let me put it that way. I'm the minority in my neighborhood. So, and I hear a lot of that. You know, and it's totally understandable. People are mad. People are angry. This woman was angry at some Trump supporters that happened to piss her off on the train. I totally understand that. And I just happened to be the only white person there when she was going off.
I'm guessing. I can imagine the fear. I'm sorry.
Plus my neighborhood is going through gentrification right now. And it's just like a really bad... We're really, really bad and like, what is it? A lot of civil unrest is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
there's a lot. People are angry. People are very angry. Pandemic happened. People got even more angry. People are like on the edge right now.
Yes, people are on the edge.
And you can tell that when you go outside. Like I haven't gone out much since this has started because I'm trying to be smart. And
it's good to stay inside.
Every time I go out, I hear something crazier happens each time I go out.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say this, listeners to the podcast, wear a fucking mask. Stay inside if you can. If you can't and you have to go out, wear a mask, be careful, practice social distancing, and wash your fucking hands.
Please wear a mask.
Yes, please. I mean
hand washing's super important.
Yes,
seriously.
The hand washing, I wash my hands so much, so often, more so than probably any of the other people I work with, but I'm like, I'm not fucking catching anything.
No. I'm so scared of the COVID. I've known a couple people that have gotten it and not made it. so far. Not like known, but I've been like acquaintances with people. My veterinarian passed away.
Oh.
From COVID. She was really young too. So like, I know that it's real. It's obviously a very real and very serious thing, but the people in my area, they don't really seem to give a shit. I mean, during remember quarantine, like when everything was locked down, I could look outside and see a group of like 20, 30 people having a party on a porch. Nobody's wearing a mask. Nobody cares. And it's been that mentality since the start.
It's because of, I don't want to get make this podcast too political too quickly, but we're going to go into it.
Oh, come on. We started by talking about the man babies.
This is true. So,
yeah, like if somebody was if somebody has gotten to this point and not gotten offended, like
we're not working by our politics. God damn it.
No, okay. Like, well, it's because of fucking Trump. Like as much as I don't like to pin everything that's wrong with conservative ideas, but like, I don't like to pin every conservative idea like onto one person because it's an entire infrastructure of terrible people. But I will say that Trump starting off by covering up his own ass for fucking things up and spreading rumors.
It's just a flu. It'll go away. It'll go away.
It's nothing.
Pretty much.
And because the supporters will believe anything that comes out of his goddamn fucking
Did you hear him about the forest fires? He was like, the trees, they explode. The terrorists, I can't help it.
The clip that I keep seeing going around is about soup. The soup cans audio.
You hear that one? He's the worst person ever.
It's just something dumber every day.
I wish I could do an impersonation of him, but I'm not good.
I wish my reality was a movie, but it's not. It's reality.
You know what's funny is that like right now they're in like this whole TikTok battle,
you're
which
nasty.
Is very stupid.
You're nasty.
But I will say TikTok lefty TikTok has been lefty TikTok has been giving me life during breaks at work because it's fucking hysterical. Like, people are really good at like deconstructing things, but then also like putting a whole fucking comedic spin on it. One of the funniest videos I saw this week, you know how like over in California we've been having those horrible fires and the fucking sky turned orange in like San Francisco? Did you see all those pictures and stuff?
Yes, I saw that.
Okay. The one of the funniest TikToks I saw this week was a woman filming herself saying, you know, it's a lovely day, and she opens the door, she goes outside and it's all red, and she's like, whoop, and then she goes right back in.
It's the trees, they explode. The nasty trees.
Lefty TikTok has been saving my life in the middle of this stupid 2020.
That sounds great.
So if you want to piss off Trump,
I'm too old for TikTok.
No one's too old for TikTok. Come on now.
I'm a classic kind of person.
I just don't get it.
It's just videos.
R.I.P. Vine.
It's the new Vine. Yeah.
I don't want a new Vine. I want my Vine.
Vine was okay.
Vine was fun.
But on Vine, you could like follow people, and your feed made sense, and there was a
TikTok
hierarchy
don't make
to
sense.
It, and TikTok is just sort of the world coming down at you all at once.
But I kind of like that.
I mean, technologically, that's really interesting. I'm a software engineer by day. So, you know, mechanically, I look at that and I'm like, oh, wow, that is really cool. But, you know, as a user, I just don't get it.
I see what you mean.
I don't like TikTok. But I usually see the funnier TikToks will usually make their way to Twitter anyway.
Yeah, because you can download clips.
Eventually.
So, if it's funny enough, I'll see it eventually.
It's true. If it gets popular enough. You can probably just go to YouTube and watch a compilation as well.
Probably.
That's what Vine happened.
I like
you can
watching
Vine compilations.
I like watching cat, like clumsy cat compilations.
Oh.
That's like my favorite thing to do, like when I'm pissed off or upset. Like I just watch stupid cats like fall in bathtubs and stuff.
You see, with the clumsy cat stuff, I just have to like stay at home. That's all I see.
Yeah. I have three cats living with me.
Oh, nice.
So, like,
two.
When I put these videos on, that you know, the cats on the TV will start mewing, and they'll come to my door, and they'll be looking around at the TV for the mewing cat, and I love my cats.
They're family members.
They are. They're not allowed in my room right now.
Stay over there, please.
One of my boys is really, really good. Him will come in and hang out and cuddle. Him is a really good boy. He doesn't cause any problems. One's a little raccoon. He just gets into every fucking thing.
A trash panda?
Yeah, a trash panda. And he looks like a fucking raccoon, too. He looks so much like a raccoon, we named him Rocket.
Oh, nice. Good name.
And then my other cat, Bug, he just wants to fight all the other cats all the time. He just wants to play and wrestle around. So, you know, it's just a mess if they all come in here.
The joys of being a pet owner.
Oh, I love
handle them. More than one.
You can handle more than one?
That's what I said.
I couldn't have got one cat, and it's too much for me.
All my cats were strays. They were all found on the streets of Philadelphia.
I might have a third cat. There's a cat that comes by my house now.
Oh, that's how you get it, a third cat. You just show up.
My cat just sort of invited herself in one day, and you know, she never left.
My current cat, my most recent cat, Bug, he just showed up on my porch, and now he lives with me.
Nice. I have to, since COVID started, the people I live with, they're out of work. So I have kind of become the sole provider, and I don't make a lot, and we're subsiding on the stuff I make at work, in addition to like whatever unemployment stuff. So we haven't had any money. We would totally take that cat to the vet and actually get it checked out and stuff, but you know, can't really afford that.
Yeah, you know, I took Bug in like right as lockdown was happening. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't aware that everything was going to close that fast. And he was a surprise, you know. He just showed up in a rainstorm and wanted to come in. You know, he was a surprise. So we had the vets.
This is my home now.
All the vets closed during quarantine, okay? And this cat was not fixed.
Oh.
This cat peed everywhere.
Oh.
Everywhere. Downstairs. Everything. Oh, everything geez. Got peed on. Constantly cleaning up pee. He's fine now. He's the best cat now. But that first like couple months. Whoa.
There's always a bad start, I guess.
No, actually that's the only problem I've ever had. My other orange cat, the one that passed away. I had my other cat I got him when he was like 3 months old, and he only lived to like a year and a half. Unfortunately, but he was my baby from the start. You know, he was good. He was a good boy. You know, he didn't do anything wrong. My other cat, Pansu, the raccoon cat. Yeah. He's good, but he's a little troublemaker in the wrong ways. Like he likes to eat cords. Like he will slice through like a headphone cord or like a phone charger so quickly. He'll slice right through it. That's the worst thing. Like, especially like if you have like the iPhone like charger and stuff. You know how expensive that is?
Oh, geez.
And he can just go through it in seconds. You know, he just blah, blah, blah. And he also likes to get into the trash. And yeah, he's just kind of a menace. He's a good boy though. He's a good fluffer.
Nice. Well, I am noticing that we're reaching about, I don't know, an hour and a half, I think, on my recording. Yeah, I don't know if you think it's time to. Yeah, I think it might be time for us to wind on down in this conversation.
This was fun. I think it was a solid first podcast.
I think we had a great conversation about Star Wars and comics and comics and comics. And then we ended on some nice cats, you know.
Hey, comics are fun.
No. I'm just saying. I'm not knocking. What I'm saying is,
I feel persecuted now.
I will talk about my cats anytime.
I know. I'm just saying we
like you want me to talk about something. Like start talking about cats, and I will start talking about my boys. They are my world. They are the apple of my eye.
No, it's all good.
I think the cats. It's such a nice way to wrap up this entire podcast with something positive. I mean,
don't forget it's Batman Day.
Oh yeah, happy Batman Day. Bruce Wayne, I wonder what he's doing right now. Probably
not helping
parents,
anybody. I mean, he's right? got billions and billions of dollars, and why are there so many homeless people in Gotham? Like,
it's because he beats them up.
Like,
yeah, generally, you know, that's his whole thing is, you know, just beating up poor people.
Which is ethnically questionable in its own, you know, how he just brutally, like, he won't kill anybody, but he'll break every fucking bone in their body.
Yeah.
He'll ruin their life, you know, in other ways, but he won't kill them.
See, this almost feels like...
It's a pretty extreme amount of privilege.
Yeah, he is. That.
I mean, it's true. Batman is white privilege.
The Robin struggle with that too. Like, hey, like you're like, you know, I got adopted as a kid and trained as a weapon. Like, why did you do this to me, rich man?
And then Jason Todd died.
And then he came back and he was angry, and now he's Jason Todd is angry.
He's sad boy.
He's just always mad at
Bruce. Yeah,
he's just sad boy.
Everybody's always mad at Bruce. He's an alcoholic now in the current comics. The current run, he likes to drink. Alfred died, and he just drinks. Catwoman's pregnant. He doesn't.
They mention that in I know you don't. I'm not saying in a Snyder way, but they do mention in Batman v Superman that he went through his entire family's wine cellar.
Yeah, he's a bit of a drunk.
Yeah,
he's. I don't know if he's as much of a drunk as Tony Stark, but
no, being a drunk was Tony Stark's character from the get-go, wasn't it?
He always has.
Yeah, but the difference between Bruce Wayne and Tony Stark, though, is like when Bruce Wayne has a crisis, you sort of care about it. When Tony Stark has a crisis, it's just
kind of treats everyone like shit,
entitled
right?
White boy shit. Yeah.
Oh, I might save the day. I might not. Batman's just like, I'll save the day. I'm the hero.
Well, yeah, I think you're right.
Tony Stark is just like, you know what? It might happen. It might not.
It just depends on his mood.
You know, both of them are having a bad day when they haven't shaved for a while.
Oh, Batman with the stubble is the worst. I hate that. That's my worst. I hate when he's got stubble. I hate it.
But
yeah, we should probably close up, or we're just gonna get back.
Yeah, I know. We'll just keep going on for hours. I think we've realized
2 hours
first episode,
later we're talking about Green Lantern or something.
2 hours later.
I think we've realized in this first episode that we worked together awesomely. This has been really fun.
I think so.
I'm just high.
This has been a really successful first episode. So,
okay. So like next week we've got an agenda, or not next week, but, in 2 weeks we've got an agenda. We've got Black Fly Press coming on with us.
Oh, nice.
I'm super excited about that. They're a ton of fun. They're super punk rock, and, their comic is amazing.
Punk rock.
I can't wait to have some, you know, some interesting perspective outside of our own to come in and discuss things and discuss.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's going to be super exciting. And we have that coming up, right? And then we'll obviously try and see who else we can get for future guest appearances, maybe?
I'm working on it as we speak.
Me too.
Awesome. Yes, I am very excited for the future of our show. I want to say thank you to everybody for listening to the podcast, you know?
Right. One thing we should probably go through and... just let everybody know where we can be found on the internet, what's going on. So I can be found at Eva is Adorable at Twitter. Crystal, how about you?
Yes, on Twitter, you can follow me at Crystal W Rocks, but that's spelled CHRYSTAL W and then ROX. Because that's kind of, I guess, punk rock, I suppose. You can follow me there.
Super punk rock.
I'm a writer. You can also follow me under Crystal Williams on Medium.
You should tell them to follow the Gals of Geekdom.
Yes, follow us at Gals of Geekdom
Twitter, and then you'll find all of our links up at the very top.
Yes.
That's true.
Oh, true, yes. And Aaron, do you want to promote your things you got going on?
I don't really have anything going on.
Okay.
I don't I mean, can follow me on Twitter at Aaron Cipher. It's ErinSifer. I'm a robot.
She's totally worth following, by the way.
I'm okay, I guess.
And she does streams. You should check out her live
streams. You can follow me at twitch.tv/AaronCipher. That's ErinSifer.
Totally do that. She's awesome.
It's true. And her boobs are great.
This is very true.
I was just gonna ask you guys. I was raising my hand. I was just gonna ask if I like flashed the camera. Like they're not gonna see that, are they?
No, I don't want my face. No.
Okay, nice. It means I can do this naked, right?
You could.
You totally could. Yeah. If you wanted to flash the camera, nobody would see it.
Okay.
Except for us.
Okay, cool.
You know.
Maybe in the future.
Yeah. Whenever you feel comfortable. I mean, no one will know. Except for us.
I'm just sitting here naked smoking a blunt.
Well, you know, if anybody wants to know, I've been naked this whole time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It's good. I don't know. That's what I do.
Okay. I mean, why not?
Why not? If you're at home, you know, home is where the pants aren't.
My cats exactly. will try to attack me if I'm naked. They view it as weakness.
I'm sitting down right now, but I could stand up because I'm... No.
All right, well, let's end this. I want to go make some All right.
Follow Gals of Geekdom podcast. Tell your friends about us and check out